Hello, good morning and welcome to another live broadcast from Bethany Free Presbyterian Church. To each one who's tuning in this morning, we give you a very warm word of welcome. Perhaps you'll be watching on at some later time via the DVD. We trust that this morning's service will be a blessing to your heart. Now, we always start with a hymn, and we listen to a hymn from the congregation on a previous occasion. And this morning, the hymn that we commence with, it's 425 in the hymn book. What though clouds are hovering o'er me, and I seem to walk alone, longing mid life's cares and crosses for the joys that now are flown. If I've Jesus, Jesus only, and that's the key in this hymn and the key to life. If I've Jesus, Jesus only, my sky will have a gem. He's the sun of brightest splendor and the star of Bethlehem. Unite our hearts together, please, in a word of prayer and seek the Lord's blessing upon our service this morning. Father, we thank thee for the return of the Lord's Day, the Christian Sabbath. We thank you that in the wisdom of God, thou didst institute one day in seven to be set aside for bodily and physical rest and for a holy resting of the soul, to give our minds and our hearts over to the things of God. We thank you for the set times of public worship when we come apart from everything else and we listen to the hymns, we partake in the singing, we read thy word, we hear it proclaimed. And Lord, we thank you for these set times. We pray that the remainder of the day also will be a day when we will rest the body and we will come apart from the entertainments, the duties and the labours of the normal working week, and that it will be a day sanctified unto the Lord and in our hearts. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that thou wilt come and visit us as we worship thee this morning and as we partake in this online broadcast. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his person and for his work. Thank you that in the fullness of time, the eternal Son of God became man. We thank you for that virgin birth, and the purity of his life. We thank you for his atoning and sacrificial death. We can sing with the hymn writer, he died an atoning death for me. He died an atoning death, O wondrous love, it was for me. He died an atoning death. We do thank you, Lord, that through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is victory over sin and death. We can have peace with God, and we can know his pardon and forgiveness. Today, Lord, it is our prayer that thou wilt grant to men and women and young people an awareness of the reality of God. Show them, Lord, how temporary this passing, fleeting world is. And show them there is a great eternity where their soul will spend forever in either heaven or hell. That there is a God in heaven with whom we all must meet and have to do with at the judgment seat. Cause men and women to seek Christ. Cause men and women to flee to him. And may there be precious souls won for Christ. We want to pray for the work of God at this time. In these unique days in which we are living, we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that the Church of Jesus Christ will not only rise to the challenge, but Lord, the Church of Jesus Christ will know a reviving and a refreshing, an enlargement and a growing even in the very midst. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, for our congregation in Portadown. We ask for every family, every individual, every household, every member and adherent that is connected to this congregation. And we pray, O God, that thy Spirit would come down in a powerful way. Unite us in the things of God. Give us wisdom as we seek to walk with thee and worship thee and work for thee. We pray, Lord, that there will be a real sense of the Lord in our midst. We think of this hymn with which we've been singing. If I've Jesus, Jesus only. We say, Jesus, draw thy nearer and shield our souls from sin. Sanctify the people of God. Set us apart unto thyself. We pray thou wilt give to us unity. We pray thou wilt give to us a common purpose. Give to us an understanding and a desire after the word of God. Help us to live it out in our lives, and help us to go forth in the service of the Lord. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, for our unconverted friends and loved ones. And we ask, Lord, that thy Spirit will strive with them. We acknowledge we cannot save them. We cannot create within them the desires after God. But we pray to thee that thou wilt send thy Spirit and move in their hearts to burden them with a conviction of sin and bring them to faith in Jesus Christ. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that thou wilt remember those who are troubled. We pray for the bereaved and for the sick. And we ask, O God, that thou wilt draw near to them. If it be thy will, heal the sick. Give comfort to all in need. And Lord, may each one be able to testify that the Lord is their portion. The Lord is their refuge and their strength. And that he is leading them gently and graciously on. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that thou wilt remember our nation and the nations of this world at this time. When we see the chastening hand of God at work and evident all around us, we pray that we will be near to thee, have our souls in that right place with thee, understand the times in which we live. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that in thy time and in thy way, thou wilt remove the virus from our midst and use it to thine honor and for thy glory. Lord, continue with us. Bless the service that is broadcast this morning. Undertake for Matthew as he sings. Bless the reading and ministry of the word. May the Spirit of God come down and give us tremendous liberty and help as we minister thy word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to read from the scriptures at this stage in our service. There are three short portions that I want to read this morning. They're all in the book of Ezekiel. So do take the time and turn to the portions. The first one is found in Ezekiel chapter 40. Ezekiel chapter 40. And this commences the final section in the prophecy of Ezekiel. Some will highlight the 37th chapter. It's really the final section, but 37 to 39 go together and lead up to the end in chapter 40. To chapter 40, it deals then with the end, the final vision. And we're going to read from chapter 40, verses 1 to 4. Then we'll move over to chapter 43, and then a few verses from chapter 48. So Ezekiel chapter 40, in the 5th and 20th year of our captivity, in the beginning of the year, in the 10th day of the month, in the 14th year after that the city was smitten, in the selfsame day, the hand of the Lord was upon me and brought me thither. It's a wonderful study to study the references to the hand of the Lord being upon or with his people. And here the hand of the Lord is upon Ezekiel. He brings him thither to show him things that are to come. May the hand of the Lord be upon us, that he will bring us thither to show us things of God. It's a terrible thing to be a blinded Christian. It's a terrible thing to have the scales upon our eyes that we're blind to what is going on or to the scheme of the Lord in relation to his prophetic dealings with the nations, with his people. The hand of the Lord was upon Ezekiel and he brought him thither. Verse 2, in the visions of God brought he me into the land of Israel and set me upon a very high mountain by which was as the frame of a city on the south. And he brought me thither, and behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of brass, and a line of flax in his hand and a measuring reed. And he stood in the gate, it was the gate of the city. The man said unto me, Son of man, behold with thine eyes, and hear with thine ears, and set thine heart upon all that I shall show thee. What an exhortation that is. What an exhortation to the Christian. Behold with thine eyes, hear with thine ears, and set thine heart upon all that I shall show thee. And the Lord has shown us great things in his word. May we set our mind and our hearts, may our eyes be on these things and our ears open and attentive to them. That's the exhortation to Ezekiel as the vision comes to, as his visions come to a conclusion. Verse 4, for to the intent that I might show them unto thee, art thou brought hither, declare all that thou seest unto the house of Israel. So the Lord's telling Ezekiel, I've brought you forth to show you things that are to take place. Set your mind and your heart upon them, and then show them to Israel. Turn over to chapter 43. We're going to read the first 7 verses in this chapter. Ezekiel 43, afterward he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looketh toward the east, the east gate of the city is Jerusalem. Behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east, and his voice was like a noise of many waters. The earth shined with his glory. And it was according to the appearance of the vision which I saw, even according to the vision that I saw when I came to destroy the city. And the visions were like the vision that I saw by the river Kebar when I fell upon my face. That's a reference to chapter 1, the vision the Lord showed Ezekiel by the river Kebar as a captive. And the glory of the Lord came, verse 4, into the house by the way of the gate whose prospect is toward the east. So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court. It's the inner court of God's house. And behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. And I heard him speaking unto me out of the house, and the man stood with me, or by me. And he said unto me, Son of man, the place of my throne. That gives you an indication who the man was that stood by Ezekiel. He stood by him in the house, and he said, Son of man, the place of my throne. That's the Lord's throne. The Lord stood by him. The place of the soles of my feet where I dwell, in the midst of the children of Israel forever. My holy name shall the house of Israel no more defile, neither they nor their kings by their whoredom, nor by the carcasses of their kings in the high places. Turn over to chapter 48 and just a few verses from verse 29 to verse 38. This is the land which ye shall divide by lot unto the tribes of Israel for inheritance. These are their portions, saith the Lord God. And these are the goings out of the city on the north side, 4,500 measures. The gates of the city shall be after the names of the tribes of Israel, 3 gates northward, 1 gate of Reuben, 1 gate of Judah, 1 gate of Levi, and at the east side, 4,500, and 3 gates, and 1 gate of Joseph, 1 gate of Benjamin, and 1 gate of Dan. And at the south side, 4,500 measures. Three gates, one gate of Simeon, one gate of Issachar, one gate of Zebulun. The west side, 4,500 with their three gates, one gate of Gad, one gate of Asher, one gate of Naphtali. It was round about 18,000 measures. Here's how the prophecy ends. And the name of the city from that day shall be "The Lord is there." The Lord bless the reading of His word this morning to our hearts. For His own name's sake, we make some announcements at this stage in our service. We welcome again each one who is tuning in. You may be watching on at a later date on DVD, and if so, we trust the broadcasts are a blessing to you. Now, this evening's broadcast is at 7 p.m. The singer will be Peter Mander, and I will be the preacher, and I will be preaching tonight on the actions of Abigail. So do join us online this evening again, please. Wednesday night at 8 p.m. is our online Bible study, and that is via the Facebook page. Friday night at 7 p.m., the children's service via Facebook. We thank our brother Philip Harden for the really good message and service on Friday night for the boys and girls. And Uncle Phil will be having another online children's meeting on Friday evening at 7 o'clock on Facebook. 8 p.m. on Friday night is the Youth Fellowship, and that will be via Zoom. And Saturday night, the Reach will have their get-together via Zoom. They're meeting via Zoom, and Mr. Chris Killen will be testifying on Saturday night for the young people of the Reach. Now, on next Lord's Day, Sunday the 28th, the online ministry continues 11:30 a.m. and 7 p.m., and that is via sermon audio and the Facebook page. Do continue, please, to remember the sick and the bereaved. We had a number of bereavements over the last couple of weeks. Do remember the Briggs family, the Webb family, the Abraham family. And if I could ask for special prayer for the Reverend Jeffrey Abraham, who fell and badly broke his leg just before his mother's funeral last Lord's Day morning. He's had surgery and is recovering, but do remember Jeffrey, and indeed the entire family circle, please, at this time. Also remember the sick. I did mention that her sister Evie Jemison had been in hospital. Initially it was thought that Evie had had slight heart attack. That wasn't the case. It was a virus that had attacked the heart. She's doing well. I do believe Evie is home, and she has to attend hospital as an outpatient now for some tests on the heart. So do remember Sister Evie and pray for others who have been ill at this time and in past weeks. Some with COVID and others with other illnesses. Some are receiving treatment on an ongoing basis. Remember the aged and infirm, and do pray for them. Those are all the announcements we made subject to the Lord's will. And before we have the preaching of the word, we're glad that Matthew Simpson, one of our own members, with us this morning. Matthew's going to come and minister two pieces in song before the preaching of the word.
All our our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful? Sorrow share. Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise forsakenly? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Wilt find a solace there. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in him always, and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak. Forgetting in nothing his blessing to seek. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be. Thy friends in thy conduct, his likeness shall see. Take time to be holy. Let him be thy guide, and run not before him, whatever betide. In joy or in sorrow, still follow Jesus, still trust in his word. Take time to be holy. Be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive be whose control. Thus led by His Spirit, ere fountains of love, love soon shall be fitted for service above.
I want to thank Matthew for singing those two beautiful, very well-known pieces, and he sung them tremendously well. We thank him for that. May we find that ever-abiding friend in the Lord Jesus Christ, and may we take time to be holy and draw near unto the Lord. Let's just look to the Lord now before we have the preaching of the Word of God this morning. Father in heaven, thank you for the ministry and song. May the Spirit of the Lord come down now and anoint the preaching and ministry of thy word to the hearts of all. May the Lord be here. Be Jehovah Shema unto us. Make the word of God live. Answer prayer, defeat the devil. May the word of the Lord of free course be glorified in thy house, for Jesus' sake. Amen. To take as my text this morning, the closing words of the prophecy of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 48, the verse 35, the closing words read, "The Lord is there." Or as it is in the Hebrew, Jehovah Shammah. Speaking of the city of Jerusalem, it is known from that day as the Lord is there. Jehovah Shammah. Now you may well be acquainted with the fact that there are a number of Jehovah titles for God in the Bible and in the Old Testament. Abraham was given the title, not that it was of Abraham, but Abraham, the Lord revealed himself to Abraham as Jehovah Jireh, there on Mount Moriah as he prepared to offer sacrifice. There was a ram caught in the thicket, and the Lord told him the Lord would provide a sacrifice, a lamb, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provide. To Moses, at the bitter waters, he was revealed as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth. To Gideon, he was revealed in the book of Judges as Jehovah Shalom, the Lord of peace. The Lord will provide for you. The Lord will heal you. The Lord will be your peace. To David in the Psalms, he was Jehovah Ra. The Lord is my shepherd. He would shepherd our souls. To Jeremiah, he was Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. And he is our righteousness for salvation. The final title, and how fitting it is that the final Jehovah title in the Word of God, it is Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. From that day and forever, the city, and it's the city of Jerusalem, will be known as Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. That's the greatest blessing that any individual, that's the greatest blessing that any congregation, that's the greatest blessing that any community or people or nation or city can know. The Lord is there. He's in the midst and He's revealed Himself in all of His glory. That's how the book and the prophecy of Ezekiel closes. It stands in stark contrast to how the prophecy commences. If you turn back to Ezekiel chapter 1 and the verse 1, it tells us how Ezekiel's prophecy commences. Ezekiel was a priest who became a prophet. He was the son of Buzi, there in verse 3 of chapter 1. And he was among the priests of the Lord. But it tells us in verse 1, it came to pass in the 13th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I, that's Ezekiel, I was among the captives by the river of Kibar. Kibar was a river, not a river in Israel, but a river in a distant, far-off land. And Ezekiel's there, and he's with other Israelites, or the children of Judah. And you'll notice that the chapter, and indeed the prophecy, commences with captivity. He was among the captives. The Lord had withdrawn His presence from the nation. His blessing, His favor. He had given them into the hand of the Chaldees. The Babylonian armies came and they destroyed the city. They burned the temple with fire. And they took the people that were left to be their servants and they carried them hundreds of miles into a strange land to be their servants. And Ezekiel's among them. It starts with captivity. It starts with servitude. It starts with the people of God. Enduring the chastening hand of God for their sin and their departure and their failure and their apostasy from the Lord. That's how the book starts. What a contrast. That the book doesn't conclude with captivity, but it finishes with glory. The glory of the Lord revealed in the midst, all His people. He's there. He's present. And His glory is abiding and shining in the midst. Now, I said that the 40th chapter of this prophecy commences the final vision, the final section of the book. It is a difficult section. A difficult section not only in the book of Ezekiel, but in fact in the entire Bible. Its passages are hard to be understood. Commentators have reasoned and debated and maybe even argued down through the years over their exact meaning and fulfillment. It's a difficult passage, but it starts in chapter 40 and the verse 1. And there you will read that in the 25th year of captivity, Ezekiel was given a vision. We read it together. The 25th year of our captivity, in the beginning of the year, in the 10th day of the month, in the 14th year after the city was smitten, in the selfsame day, the hand of the Lord was upon me. The 25th year, he'd been a captive for 25 years, Ezekiel had. In the 25th year, the hand of the Lord brought him in the spirit to a very high mountain in the land of Israel. He began to show him visions of things that would be to come. The temple rebuilt. The people of Israel in their entirety regathered again to the land and in faith serving the Lord. That's what he saw. And the climax of this section that deals with these visions of the city and the temple rebuilt, the people regathered as one, serving the Lord in faith. Its climax and its culmination and its conclusion is that the Lord is there. Jehovah Shema Himself is in the very midst. I repeat again, and I have no apology to make for repeating it. This is the greatest blessing that any could experience. And it should be the desire of every believer. The desire of my heart is, and oh, I'll not ask the committee to take the letterers and to place them over the church door. No, we wouldn't do that. But it is my desire that spiritually speaking, this title would be written over our church door. Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. It's my desire that title would be written over the manse and over my home. Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. It's my desire that this title would be written over the door of my heart. Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. This title proves that the Lord dwells with man and dwells with his people and manifests his glory to his people. And I want to confess to you this morning, I wrestled with this text for a number of days during the week. The Lord had it on my heart. It was a blessing to my soul. And yet I wrestled with it as to how I could develop it, how I could preach it. And I have to say, I'm not even sure that we got there. But the Lord laid a number of things in my heart. And I want to leave them with you this morning. And it's really this idea or this theme. What are the characteristics when the Lord is there and His glory is revealed? What can we expect? What can we see? What is evident when the Lord is there in the midst of His people? I think you get the answer when you read the entire section. It's not my purpose, and we certainly don't have time to expound the entire section, but I want to pick a number of things out. I want to say to you, firstly, that when the Lord is there, there will be a reviving to life. A reviving to life. I am referring to the 47th chapter, and I would encourage you to read these sections. Take a moment this afternoon. It's the Sabbath day. It's the Lord's day. And therefore, it's a day set apart for the Lord. And here's a little challenge. Just take the time to read these sections fully. The sections that I'm referring to, take time this afternoon to go over them. I'm referring now in a reviving to life to the 47th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. If you just turn to it, look at verse 1. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house. So Ezekiel, get it in your mind, in the vision, he's brought to the door of the house of the Lord. Waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. Ezekiel's given a vision of waters flowing from the house. And that water ran out of the house of the Lord, and it became a great river. The waters ran first of all to ankle depth, and then to the knees. And then there were waters to the loins. And then there were waters to swim in. You look at verse 8 and verse 9. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert. They're flowing out of the house of God. And they're flowing east, down into the desert, and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. That's the waters of the sea shall be healed. What's the sea that's to the east of Jerusalem? It's the Dead Sea. Verse 9, and it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. There's the idea of life. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come hither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live wherewith the river cometh. And it shall come to pass, verse 10, that the fishers shall stand upon it from Engedi even to Engellim. They shall spread their nets forth. Whoa, we could read it all, but you're getting the picture. This river of living, healing waters flowing, they start, as it were, as a flow. They come to the ankles, verse 3. Then waters to the knees, verse 4. Then to the loins, verse 4, and the end of it. And then there's waters to swim in, verse 5, that the prophet couldn't pass over. And they flow east, and they flow through the desert, and they flow to the sea. It's the Dead Sea, the sea that's been dead for thousands of years. The sea that's been dead and nothing lives in since the day that Sodom and Gomorrah was overthrown. Do you go to that sea today and nothing lives within it? And yet Ezekiel is given a picture of this river of living water that brings life where there was once death. And those dead waters of the Dead Sea, one day they'll live and they'll be full of fish, and the fishermen will stand upon the shore there from Engedi right down to Engellim, and they'll spread their nets for the multitude of fish that is within them. Do you see the point that we're making? Where there is death, the Lord is there, Jehovah Shema. That which was dead for millennia shall be healed and given life by the streams of living water flowing from the house of God in the city of Jehovah Shema. And when the Lord is there, He's bringing life where there was death. There's a reviving to life. What a reminder of the very gospel itself. For the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is likened to living water. Isn't that what the Lord Jesus told the woman at the well in John chapter 4? He likened the gospel and salvation to living water, healing streams. Verse 10, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest ask of Him, and He would have given thee living water. In verse 14 of the same chapter, Jesus said, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The gospel itself is likened to living, healing streams of water that brings life where there's death. Oh, man is dead in trespasses and in sins. His soul is dead by the fall. He is no life, and if you are not a Christian, that's the state of your soul. You're dead in trespasses and in sins. You have no spiritual life. You have no life from God, and you can't commune with God. Dead in trespasses and in sins. But when the gospel flows into your heart and you drink of the streams of living water, you're quickened, you're made alive unto God, you partake of everlasting life, and you become alive to God, at peace with Him. Your soul is healed from the curse and sickness of sin. Oh, may those healing streams flow to sinners. May there come life to the souls of men and women where there's death. Oh, yes, the gospel gives life where men are dead in sin. The healing streams of the gospel river. Let me say too, those gospel streams, They not only save the sinner, they heal the backslider. Oh, you say, is the backslider really dead? Well, that's a little phrase that's used of the backslidden church in Revelation chapter 3 in the verse 1. Unto the angel, the messenger of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works. The Lord knows the works of the church, knows the works of the believer. And to Sardis he had to say that thou hast a name that thou livest and are dead. The church that had a name to live, and yet it was dead. One word describes it, backslidden, and yet the Lord uses that phrase. It's possible for an old spirit of death to enter in to the individual or to the church. And what will bring about the healing? What will bring about the reviving? What will bring about the life again in that individual or church? It's the healing streams of that gospel river, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. May it flow. May that river flow through this congregation and into the streets of Portadown. And may there come to life where there is death, where Jehovah Shammah is, where He is revealed in all His glory, and He dwells in the midst with His people. There's a reviving to life. Lord, come down again, we pray, and abide in this place as Jehovah Shammah. There's not only a reviving to life. You know, when there's a reviving to life, there's a return to worship. That's the second thing I want to say this morning. Another characteristic that when the Lord is there, there will be a return to worship. If you turn back to chapter 43 and 44, we read a little section from chapter 43, and the Lord came down in the vision, and the man, he stood by Ezekiel. Chapter 43 and 44, they go together and they deal with the Lord's house being complete and it being rebuilt. And I want you to notice in verses 4 and 5 of chapter 43, it says, and the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate, whose prospect is toward the east. I want you to note that. The glory of the Lord filled the house. Look at verse 5. So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court. And behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. Turn over to chapter 44. And it tells us in verse 4, then brought he me the way of the north gate before the house. And I looked, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. And there's his response. I fell upon my face when the Lord's glory is revealed in the midst and He's there among His people as Jehovah Shammah. There is a reverence for the Lord and a reverence for the house of the Lord and a reverence for the things of God. You read in the early chapters of the book of Ezekiel, he had a vision of the Lord's glory withdrawing from the house. The Lord never leaves His individuals, those that are truly saved. But there are times whenever His presence for blessing withdraws. And in the earlier chapters, Ezekiel had a vision of it. It removed the Shekinah glory, the visible presence of the Lord in the Old Testament. It removed from over the inner sanctuary, the holy place, to the gate, and then from the gate to the mountain, and then all together. but now it has returned. As the prophecy comes to conclude, the glory of the Lord dwelling among his people, it returns. And can I remind you that on three occasions in the Old Testament, the glory of the Lord filled the house. In the days of Moses, when the tabernacle was concluded and reared up in the wilderness, there at the final chapters of Exodus, we read that the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Then in the days of Solomon, when under the direction of the Lord, Solomon built the temple unto the Lord at the time of the dedication of the temple, the glory of the Lord filled the house. And at the completion of the rebuilt temple in the days of Ezekiel, the Lord shows him this vision of the glory of the Lord's presence dwelling with man in its visible form, the Shekinah glory. And it's dwelling there. And on every occasion in the Old Testament, it's dwelling where? In the tabernacle, in the temple, in the rebuilt temple. And there's no mistake with that. The Shekinah glory did not appear, as it were, there at the river Kibar. Oh, visions. But the glory of the Lord filled the house. And it was to remind Ezekiel that he would communicate to the people that there is a particular blessing from the Lord's presence in the public place of worship. And though now God does not dwell in temples made with hands, there is a particular blessing for God's people in the public place of worship. For where two or three are met together, and I've said it before, Spurgeon made the comment, two or three is a public gathering. If you've one, it's a private meeting. Two or three is a public gathering. Where two or three are met together in my name, there am I in the midst. And there's a particular blessing to be had when the people of God come together publicly to worship the Lord. And when the Lord's glorious presence dwelt there, Jehovah Shema, the people attended the worship. Turn over to chapter 46. I'm building a picture. I trust you'll be patient with me. But in chapter 43 and 44, we've witnessed the reconstruction of God's house. We've witnessed the Shekinah glory coming down into the midst of God's house. And Ezekiel falling on his face in reverence at the presence of the Lord. And in chapter 46, we read of how the people attended then to worship. Likewise, chapter 46, verse 3. The people of the land shall worship at the door of this gate. The people of the land. Let me just pause there for a moment as we build the picture. All Israel was represented in the land in the book of Ezekiel. One of the things that marked the captivity, the northern tribes were taken into captivity to the north, the Syrians. But then Judah in the south, many years later, they outlived, as it were, the northern tribes in their kingdom. But the southern tribes of Judah and Benjamin, they went into captivity into Babylon. But when you read the book of Ezekiel and read chapter 48, you discover that all the tribes are represented. All the tribes are back in the land. All the tribes have their portion in the land. When chapter 46, verse 3 says, likewise the people of the land shall worship. It's all the tribes that are represented. All the people are represented there. And you'll notice it says, shall worship at the door of this gate before the Lord. The Lord's in the house. His glory is there. He's Jehovah Shammah in the midst. And the people come to the place where the Lord is. They worship Him publicly in His temple. And they worship before the presence of the Lord, before Jehovah Shammah. In the Sabbaths, you see, it's the presence of the Lord that draws the people to the house. My friends, that's what I want, to draw you to this house when we get open again in the will of the Lord. Because there's this foolish, I go as far as saying this, carnal notion. And it grieves us to the core. There's a carnal notion out there in evangelicalism abroad that if you get an outward going pastor, or you have modern music, that the people will flock to the house of God. I don't want any of it here. If people are coming because of me, or because of the elders, or because of someone else, or something else, or because there's some modern musical band playing at the front, friends, we're wasting our time. It's the presence of the Lord that draws people to the house of God for all the right reasons. There's little verses in Mark chapter 2. I don't have time to turn them up this morning. But when the Lord was in the house, and I know it was only, it was a home that He was in. It tells us when He was in that home, it was noised abroad that He was in the house. And the people thronged around it. The windows, the doors, you couldn't get in because the Lord was there. Oh, that God would be in the house. And God would be in the ordinances, the singing and the reading and the preaching and the sacraments, that His presence would be so mighty. People will come to worship the Lord. Before I leave this point, and my time is almost gone, but can I point you to see that in verse 4 of Ezekiel 46, they're there at the house on the Sabbath to publicly worship before the Lord where He is. Their worship centered on the sacrifice, the burnt offering that the prince shall offer unto the Lord. I tell you, all those sacrifices, they point to the one sacrifice for sins forever, to the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. My friends, that's what our worship is to center around. Not the philosophies or the wisdom of man, not the importance or the elevation of man, but the sacrifice for sin that makes man right with God and saves us and brings us into that right relationship with God. That's what our worship is to center upon. May it be so in this house. When the Lord is there, friends, there's a reviving to life. There's a return to worship. Let me say, finally, there's a rededication to service. Chapter 44, you have from verse 10 to verse 16, the appointing of the Levites and the priests for service in the temple, to minister before the Lord unto the people. And I want to just pick up on two verses as we come to a close this morning. Look at verse 10. The Levites that are gone away from me. Just notice that phrase. The Levites that are gone away from me when Israel went astray, which went astray away from me after their idols, they shall even bear their iniquity. Yet they shall be ministers of my sanctuary, having charge at the gates of the house. The Lord marks that the Levites who were to have charge over the service of the tabernacle, he marked they'd gone astray. They'd been part of the problem in the house of the Lord in the temple all those years before Solomon's temple was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. The Levites were part of the problem. They went astray. They were part of the apostasy. Oh, may the ministers of the sanctuary be true to the Lord and not cause his people to go astray after idols. And yet the Lord pardoned them. And the Lord forgave them. He says, they shall be ministers in my sanctuary, having charge over the gates of the house. Let me say to the backslider, maybe once you walked well with the Lord and you were fervent in your service for the Lord, but you've gone away from the Lord. You haven't been serving the Lord. There's restoration, there's forgiveness, there's pardon, and you can rededicate yourself to the service of the Lord. Do you know the sobering, solemn thing in this? The Lord says they'll simply have charge of the gates. They had charge of the gates. They were not given the role or the position they had previously. They would have charge of the gates. They would slay the burnt offerings and the sacrifice for the people. They shall stand before them to minister. Verse 12 tells us, because they ministered unto them before their idols, caused the house of Israel to fall into iniquity. They shall bear their iniquity. Verse 13, they shall not come near unto me to do the office of the priest. They were forbidden from being priests. And it may well be that your backsliding, your sin, it can be forgiven. And you can have a place in serving the Lord. But there may be things you'll not be able to do because of your backsliding or your sin. My God forgives our sin, but there may be certain roles within the house of the Lord you'll not be able to do because of your backsliding. That's a solemn thought. And yet the encouraging thing is the Lord did pardon them. He appointed them again to give them a role and a ministry and a work to do. That's the grace and mercy of the Lord. And there's a way back for you. There's a way back for forgiveness for the backslider. There's a way back to service for the backslider. Just as there was for the Levites. But if you look at verse 15, you'll find the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok that kept the charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray. There was a family. The seed of Zadok, the faithful priest, the sons of Zadok. They were faithful to the Lord in the day of apostasy. They were faithful when Israel went astray. And the Lord appoints them to the service of the house of the Lord, that they will serve within the priest's office and they'll wear the priest's garments. And that's the motivation for you in this day of apostasy, to stay faithful to the Lord. Though the house of God had been destroyed in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, when the Lord brought them back again, he remembered the house of Zadok. And his sons were appointed to the role of the priest to make offering and sacrifice for the sons and for the children of Israel. In verse 23, they would teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane. When the Lord was there, There was a rededication and applying themselves again to the service of the house of the Lord. Know that the Lord will come afresh and be Jehovah Shammah in our lives. Be Jehovah Shammah in our homes. Be Jehovah Shammah in this house. That there will be a reviving to life, a re-emphasis of worship, and a rededication to the service of the house of the Lord. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. We're closing this morning. I think we have a hymn to close. Let me just see 513. Blessed be the service of our Lord and King. And after we listen to this hymn, I close in prayer. In prayer. Father, may that word be fulfilled in our time and in our lives. Be Jehovah Shammah to us. We invite thee. We entreat thee. We beseech thee. May the Lord be here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.